Pastor Ron, I prefer hearing it from you. You know, but the Lord is good all the time. God is good. You know, the fruit of the Spirit, it's funny, Jenny opened worship by mentioning that we don't just mouth words, we don't just say words. Those words have meaning. And I was told a long time ago, if you're going to speak, say whatever you're going to say in as few words as possible. And when you read the Bible, it's amazing to me. And you can't come away from reading the Bible not realizing that God wrote this book, because he's just packed it in. You know, and I look at the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And those aren't just words. Did you ever read a book? You're reading through the book, maybe for class, and you get to a word, you really don't know what it means, but you've got to read the book for class, so you keep plowing through. But you don't really know what you read. And I think we need to read the Bible the same way, not just plow through it. But I used to be told, my dad said, get a dictionary and know every word you're reading. Well, it was too much like work. Well, you know, the Bible was written in a day where the words had a bit of a different meaning than they do today. You know, love. In the Bible, we talked last time that there's four basic words in the Greek for love. And so have a good concordance and an interlinear to really dig in and see what those words are meaning. And so the Holy Spirit wants us, I believe, to dig into those fruits of the Spirit, those fruit of the Spirit, and understand what they mean, not just words. And I think at the end of the day, it's all about relationship. It's all about relationship, our relationship with our Maker and our relationship with others, how we treat others. So, anyway. So, we're going to continue in the fruit of the Spirit. Maybe this is a little too loud because I'm hearing some feedback. I'm going to read from Galatians 5:16, starting 5:16. Galatians 5:16. We know the words, but let's read it again. Galatians 5, chapter 5, verse 16. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. I'm reading, by the way, from the New Living Translation. Let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the works of the flesh, those results are very clear: sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Well, let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You see, there is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Well, let's pray. Well, Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, that you loved us so much that you gave your only Son to rescue us from ourselves, to bring us into a right relationship with you. Thank you, Lord. Show us today what these words mean in our lives, Lord, what you want them to tell us today, that they're not just words, Lord, that they have meaning, and you wrote them down on purpose. Let us see each one anew, and Lord, show us what you want us to know. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. See, we've seen the Apostle Paul, he has shown us that, you know, the flesh lusts against the spirit were wars. And he was careful to say in that the works of the flesh and the fruit of the spirit. It's a difference we talked about last time. A work is something you're employed at, something you have to work at. A fruit is something that occurs naturally. I mean, the tree doesn't have to work at bearing fruit, right? So the fruit of the Spirit isn't something I muster up. I'm going to be more loving. I'm going to work harder. I probably should. But if the Holy Spirit is in you, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is in you. Those fruits naturally occur. The tree doesn't have to work harder at making that apple nicer or bigger or shinier or more tasty. What God has already built in happens naturally. Also, the fruit in our lives work the same way, and they come by our abiding in the Holy Spirit. The degree to which we are surrendered to Jesus and the Holy Spirit is the degree to which we will see fruit in our lives and notice fruit in others. Now, as good stewards, we have to do our part. We have to dig the hole, put the seeds in, maybe water, fertilize. There's a part that we have to play. Maybe do some weeding in our lives. Keep the animals away. Do some pruning. And that tree is going to produce good fruit. Gardening in the Christian sense is similar. It's the same, really. Includes reading the word, praying, fasting, some weeding, fellowship, or praying, or weeding, and God will do the pruning. As the Holy Spirit works in our lives, our character begins to change. If you look back a year ago and you do a review, are you different? Are you different? Is that fruit different? Am I walking in unconditional love for others? Well, that's what love is. That word love as a fruit. Am I walking in unconditional love for others? Would someone accuse me of being filled with joy? Someone pin that on you? Is the peace of Christ evident in how I react to things? Do I have long-suffering patience, endurance to keep going, even though it doesn't look good? Kindness, am I kind to others? Not just the please be kind and rewind kindness, but real kindness. Kindness. True blue, gentle and kind spirit. Goodness, are my deeds good toward others? Done purely with a motive to aid. Do I do the right thing even though no one is looking? Faithfulness. Am I someone who can be relied on to see a thing through? Am I being faithful? Where in the past maybe I would have tossed in the towel and said, enough of that. Am I faithful? I think of Joseph, Mary's Joseph. I mean, would have been a whole lot easier for Joseph to put Mary away quietly. But he didn't. He listened to the Holy Spirit, and he was faithful. Faithful. Can God say at the end of it all, well done, good and faithful servant? Gentleness. Do I have a humble heart? Am I growing in the opposite direction of being prideful? And self-control, is my soul coming into agreement with the Holy Spirit and saying no to my flesh? Are the things that used to captivate my heart no longer have a hold over me? At least, is it diminishing? If I hold the mirror of these fruits up to my heart, how do I look? And see, I'm talking about this stuff, but I'm not talking to me about this stuff. I think I might have mentioned that. I'm talking to me first. But I think it's something God wants us to do with these words. They're real words. They have real meaning. And he wants us to take a look at ourselves in the mirror of those words. So, now, you're not trying to be those things. I mean, of course you're trying to be those things, right? I want to love others as God loved me. Of course you want to try to be those things. I want to be kinder. I want to be gentler. I want to have a humble heart. I do want those things. But as you submit to the Holy Spirit in your life, those things naturally come through. You are kinder. Wow, when that guy cut me off, I would react differently. Now, I pray for them. I pray for them. But we still have these two natures in ourselves, right? We've got this flesh, and we've got the spirit. And as long as we're in this body, that flesh is going to war against the spirit. We are body, soul, and spirit. Body, soul, and spirit. Flesh, soul, and spirit. And the soul's got the ringside seat, watching the flesh and the spirit duke it out. We talked about that. And who do I come in agreement with? My intellect, my emotions, who I am, who you are is your soul. Well, who do I agree with? You know, that double-decker chocolate cake looks pretty good. You know, who am I going to come into agreement with? There's any myriad of things that we fight against or we war against. I think Jesus said it perfectly in Matthew 26. If you want, turn to that. Matthew 26. I think he says it perfectly. Matthew 26. Says, watch and pray. Jesus talking to his disciples. Could be talking to you and me. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. See, there's a two-step process there. Step one, watch. And that word watch means to be alert, to be on guard over those thoughts. Matthew 26, verse 41. Sorry. I'm sorry. 26:41. Jesus speaking to the disciples, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He's telling us that today. He says the same thing to us today in this war, spirit and flesh. Watch and pray. Step one, watch. Be alert. That word watch means to be alert, to be on guard. And step two is pray. See, there's no other way in the Christian life. It's not more complicated than that. You know, Holy Spirit, it just makes it so simple. Now, we complicate it. Okay, watch and pray. It's just that simple. But we complicate it. Watch, be alert, be on guard, be ready. But we don't. We go through life. We're distracted. Let's face it. Life is one great big distraction. We make it complicated. Romans 7, let's turn there. Paul outlines this struggle in Romans 7. I mean, Romans is a beautiful book. And thank goodness for Paul. He struggled with it. We're not the first to struggle with this. And thank goodness he wrote it down. Thank goodness he was open and honest and transparent. He wrote it down with his struggles. In Romans 7, verse 18, we'll start in verse 18. We'll go to 25. Verse 18 says in Romans 7, Paul speaking, for I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it. I mean, verse 20 is kind of an epiphany for Paul. Epiphany. It's all of a sudden he makes a distinction. It's almost as though he sees at once the flesh and spirit as they should be different. At that moment, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Verse 21, I find that a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Of course, he goes on. The answer is Jesus Christ and what he's done on the cross. Paul also said in Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. See, when Christ died on the cross, he said it is finished. He took every one of our sins, past, present, and future, and nailed it to the cross. If Jesus Christ, if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ and believe in his atoning death on the cross as your payment for that sin, you are free. You are free. You've been set free. Now we have to walk in that freedom. And the fruit of the Spirit is evidence in your life of that freedom. So we don't get off the hook, right? But we're different. It's no longer I who live. See, and sin is separate. Paul saw sin as separate, something to be dealt with for sure. And God gave us Holy Spirit to allow the Spirit to have dominion over the flesh, to give us the power to walk the way he walked. You see, Jesus couldn't stay. He had to leave. And when he left, he gave us the Holy Spirit so his work would carry on and through us. See, the evidence of fruit in your life is evidence of Jesus Christ on earth. So, love. Unconditionally. But watching and praying is the only way you're going to have a shot at winning. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Too simple. But it's true. Jesus said in John 15:4. And by the way, you can only watch and pray when you're abiding in Christ. You know, if you're off doing your own thing, there's nothing, you can't watch and pray. You're busy doing other stuff. Watch and pray happens when you're abiding. So you may ask, am I abiding? Well, how do I abide? Well, Jesus talks about it in John 15:4. He said, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides on the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So how can you produce fruit in your life? You can't unless you abide in Christ. How can you watch and pray? You can't unless you abide in Christ. How do I abide in Christ? Well, just like the apple, hang in there. Hang in there. You pitch that apple. Don't pluck yourself off the tree. But that's what we do. We pluck ourselves off the tree because we know better. We've seen better. We've got this figured out. There is a way that seems right to a man. Right? Abiding. Watch and pray. It abides, that apple. It doesn't strive. It doesn't cling to the tree any tighter. It doesn't muster up all its strength to do more abiding. It just simply abides. Now, there's submission, to it. It doesn't chop itself off. It abides. Think about that. And you abide by hanging close with Jesus, hanging tight. If you've surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes into your heart, and you can abide in Him. But it does take our cooperation. It takes our agreement. With the Spirit abiding, when we abide, we can grow in holiness. But it requires our permission. I think of the lame man at the pool of Bethesda. Jesus asked him only one question. Do you want to be made well? See, it requires our permission. Do you want to be made well? So His love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control is in us. It's not something you have to go out and buy or earn or keep or get. It's in you. It's in you. You have it in you. The more we abide, the more the fruit is evident in our lives. I mean, we don't just put those on like a pair of jeans. We take them off when we get back home. We shouldn't. It's baked in. It's who you are. You have those things in you. We have those things in us. Anyway, the last time we looked at the first three fruits, love. Love, we know there's many words that have meaning with the word love. But this love is an unconditional love. Same love that Christ loved us when He died on the cross. It doesn't expect anything in return, that kind of love. And only by the power of the Holy Spirit can you have that kind of self-sacrificing love. No strings. There is no greater love. The next one was joy. Joy means to be exceedingly glad. There's an exuberance in joy. It springs up. It's hope eternal from here. Now, the closest thing I could get to it was when I was a little kid and Mom and Dad said, hey, we're going to go to Dairy Queen. Man, I was joyous. Looking forward to that. Sometimes you got to go back and touch where you were as a child. Where you were as a child. To understand what God wants to tell us. Remember, it's simple. Peace, we talked about peace, a peace that passes all understanding. It's the peace that Christ left us. We read the scripture from John 14:27. My peace, and Jesus said, I give you my peace. Not as the world gives you. It's the peace that passes all understanding. Years ago, when I was a new Christian, I'd go through a trial, and I'd still worry. Yeah, I know, I've got the peace. Well, as time progresses, you notice, well, I've got this peace about me. Just, where did that come from? It's going to be okay. The sky's going to clear. We're going to be okay, because God's got this. And He didn't put me here by accident. We're here on purpose, for a purpose. So today I want to look at the next three fruits, patience, kindness, and goodness. Patience. And again, let's look at the mirror today. Patience. Am I patient? Kindness. Am I kind? Goodness. Is there goodness? Patience. So we look at patience. It's also, in some translations, it's long-suffering. My brother is a Met fan. So you want to know what long-suffering looks like, just look at Tom. And no, I'm only kidding. Hey, listen, you know, sport teams come and go, but it's not the type of patience that, you know, the same that you might have waiting online at the DMV. Patience, right? It's a long-suffering patience. The word in Greek means endurance, steadfastness, perseverance. Especially as shown in bearing troubles and ills. Maybe bared troubles and ills. And you say, wow, I really mustered through that one. Well, I have to tell you, Holy Spirit's given you the grace and the peace and the patience to get through that one. Only by His Spirit. See, there's a slowness, too, in that long-suffering or that patience to avenge wrongs. It's the self-restraint which does not hastily retaliate a wrong, long suffering. And we see this type of self-restraint and suffering and whatnot in the Old Testament. I think of Joseph and his brothers. I mean, let's face it, they wanted to kill him. I mean, they wanted to get rid of him, this dreamer. This dream that put him and them bowing to him. So look, what happens? They want to kill him. He ends up in a ditch. They sell him as a slave. I mean, some 13 years from the time they put him in a ditch to the time he became the number two guy in Pharaoh's kingdom. They hated him. Now, he was wrongly accused by Potiphar's wife. He was thrown in jail and forgotten about. That's long-suffering. But he never got off the path. He was watching and praying. I just think he learned to look at that, especially when the brothers came and he, and God just showed him that through that trial, and I think God wants us to see that through our trials, there's something greater coming, that there's a greater purpose for what we're going through. He was the number two guy. The brothers came, and he forgave them. And they were rescued. God doesn't forget his promise. Had they not been rescued, where would the nation of Israel be? Because that's where they came from, the brothers and him. So God is faithful. Can we be long-suffering? And Holy Spirit is the one who does that. I mean, he actually said in Genesis 50 at the end, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. And so I think that's something we could ask ourselves. Can we see the forest through the trees? Do we see the end game? What man has meant for evil, God is using for good. God has a purpose and plan for your life. If you're going through a hard time, keep going. I like to say to the guys in the men's group, keep showing up. Just keep showing up. Just keep showing up. Keep showing up. God's got a plan and a purpose in your life. Endure and persevere. Love your persecutors, for without them, you don't learn, you don't grow. Bless those who persecute you. Never give up. Hang tough. The next fruit is kindness. Let's talk about kindness. Are you kind? Are you a kind person? All the time? Some of the time? The word in Greek means this: a mild type of character that does not threaten health or life. Now I go to the perfect example of kindness as Jesus. There were so many examples of Jesus being kind. He said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more, to the woman caught in the act of adultery. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. Kindness. The Good Samaritan that he told, the parable. I mean, he was kind to who's my neighbor was the question. And he told the story, who's my neighbor? The guy the Samaritan helped wasn't really his neighbor, but Jesus was saying, everyone is your neighbor. Now, you may say, well, I can't be as kind or as gentle or as nice as Jesus. I mean, for goodness sake, he's God. Or even like the Good Samaritan. He was probably retired and wealthy, all that money, had nothing else to do. I mean, the priest and the other fella walked on the other side, but, you know, maybe he had nothing else to do that day. Besides, I'm just human. I mean, there's other humans down here, too, and they tend to tick me off, get me angry, get under my skin, right? I mean, come on. It's not easy being us. I don't really have to be kind all the time, do I? Well, once we start putting conditions on our kindness, I think we're headed for trouble. Jesus said, Matthew 5, it's the Sermon on the Mount, right? The Beatitudes. You've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Love your neighbor, hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. That's a really big deal, he just said. What? What? Pray for my enemy? Love my enemy? Really? Yeah, you may still say, well, that's not my nature. And you're right. It's not our nature. But again, that fruit of the Holy Spirit, it's His nature coming through us. We only have the power to forgive through Him. It may not make sense to us. But again, remember, God has a purpose and a plan. It didn't make sense, the Joseph story, but He had a purpose and a plan. We have to trust Him because He knows what He's doing with our lives. If we're fully surrendered to Him, we can trust Him. We can put our lives in His hands and know that all things work together for good. All things. We may not know it or see it. But the Holy Spirit's purpose in our lives is to reflect His nature to others. Reflect. He's God. He's not here. We can't see Him. You may be, I may be the only version of Jesus Christ someone ever sees. And will they know us by our fruit? Love. Joy. Peace. Patience. Kindness. Goodness. Faithfulness. Self-control. Will they recognize Him in us? We tend to treat those we don't know the best. It's just natural. Gonna have company over, remember as a child. Gonna have some guests over. Behave yourselves. Be on your best behavior. So we're nice, and that's good. We should be nice. But it's funny, when the circle gets smaller and closer, it's those that are closest to us that we kind of neglect that rule. You know, we're a little harsher to those we love. We forget to show those fruit, that fruit, to those closest to us, and we should. Again, you may say, it's not my nature. It's not how I do it. It's not how I roll. It's not me. It wouldn't be me. Well, God did make you special and on purpose. But He also gave you the power of the Holy Spirit. He gave you the fruit of the Holy Spirit to allow you to have those things. Because it's not our nature. Paul talked about it. We fight. Spirit and flesh fight. They fight. So let's finally talk about goodness. Goodness, goodness, gracious. The fruit of the Spirit called goodness. Now, the word goodness, everyone has their own thought of what goodness means, right? I'm a good person, right? That's goodness. Well, I want to define for you the word in Greek. It means uprightness of heart and life. Goodness. Uprightness of heart and life. Easton's Bible Dictionary says that goodness in man is not a mere passive quality, but the deliberate preference of right and not wrong. I'll read that again. Goodness in man is not a mere passive quality, but the deliberate deliberate preference of right and not wrong. It is the firm and persistent resistance of all moral evil and the choosing and following of all moral good. Deliberate preference. It's an action. It's not just who you are, but it's a deliberate action of goodness. In many ways, it's what I would call having integrity. Integrity. Integrity, they say, is doing the right thing even though no one's watching. It's integrity. No one's watching. Nobody cares. No one's looking. I could do this or I could do that. And it's choosing the right thing even though no one's checking up on you. Integrity is goodness. Goodness is virtue and holiness in action. It's a life characterized by good deeds, motivated by a sincere desire to be a blessing. It's a life characterized by good deeds, motivated by the desire to be a blessing to others. Not to score points or look good. I'm trying to score points. Look how good I was. I brought the garbage cans in once again. Although that would be good. But you're not trying to score points. It's been said that reputation is what folks think of you or think about you. And character is what God knows about you. Reputation is what folks think about you. Character is what God knows about you. See, the character of a person is revealed in the choices we make. The character of a person is revealed in the choices we make. We don't always make perfect choices. We are a work in progress. God made us. He knows what we are made of, and he loves us. But he wants to see us grow. He wants to see us grow up in him. And because the Holy Spirit is in us, the good news is we have that ability. So when I think of the fruit goodness, I think of the prophet Daniel, right after he was brought into Babylonian captivity. Remember Daniel? I mean, Daniel, first of all, they were brought into Babylonian captivity. His friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they changed their names. They wanted to change their diet. They wanted to change, you know, let them study the language. They wanted to change them from the inside out. And Daniel, knowing right and wrong, purposed in his heart, as a matter of fact, it's from Daniel 1:8, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor the wine which he drank. He purposed in his heart. I love that simplicity. He just decided, I'm going to do the right thing. Though I could get on the king's good side and I could have all the great food and the wine and the drink and all that good stuff and maybe get some riches and some nice new clothes because we came in captivity, he purposed in his heart to do the right thing. That's goodness. That's what that word means, goodness. Wasn't trying to score points. He knew what God wanted, even though he was out of the environment. He was free as you could suspect. There was no longer anybody he had to kowtow to or obey. He could run with the dudes here. But he purposed in his heart that he wouldn't defile himself because he never forgot the relationship he had with God. Never forgot that relationship. God made you. We don't see him every day, but he's here. He's inside of you. And we see it through the entire book of Daniel. I mean, from the fiery furnace to the lion's den. Each time Daniel had a choice, he was given a choice. He could have taken the easy way out. He took God's way out. He took God's. Are you taking God's way out? And by the way, he was always blessed. He was always blessed when he took God's way out. Didn't look right to us or to me. I'm like, you're going to let yourself go in that furnace? Well, there Jesus was. He was in the furnace with him. Take God's way out. Be good. Now, how do we get better at producing this fruit in our lives? Do we work at it harder? Muster up all our strength? Muscle through? No, we simply have to abide in Christ more. So I pray that we take time to meditate on His words that have meaning for our lives through this week, through next week, and the months to come. But He meant something when He said the fruit of the Spirit. And hold them up as a mirror as we read the word. How do I reflect? So I'll leave it there. The first six of the Holy Spirit, fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Next time I bring a word, I'll continue. I'll talk on the remaining three, which is faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So, amen. So, Lord, we lift up this time to You, Father. I thank You. We thank You, Lord, that You made us. You made us on purpose and special in every way, Lord. You made no two people the same. And, Lord, we thank You for our differences, Father, for we know that they make us stronger, Lord. Lord, as we go about our busy lives, remind us, Father, that You're inside of us. Where we go, there You are. And, Father, bring these fruits to mind as we deal with our struggles and our trials, Lord. Let us remember that we can love like You first loved us, because Your love is in us. Father, that we can have joy. And peace. That we can be patient, Lord, with others. That we can be kind, say a kind word, have a kind ear. Lord, let us always choose the right way to go, Your way to go, Father. We have that goodness. So we thank You, Father. Cover us, Lord, with the fruit. Lord, let it grow in our lives. So that others may see and want to know, what's up with them? What's happening with them? Why are they this way? That they may discover You, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.